Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, more than 200 bogus sites impersonating organisations targeting consumers here in Ireland in the last 12 months have been found, all in an effort to try and steal your hard-earned cash. Fake websites pretending to be the likes of Revenue and Post, fake online shops, which I myself fell foul of about a year and a half ago. I bought a dress from what I thought was a reputable clothes shop in the south of the country, only to find out that I'd actually bought the dress from a bogus site with a very similar name to the shop, I thought. Never got the money back. It was an awful handling, as they'd say at home. And I ended up having to cancel my bank card and I'm sure all the usual hassle that comes with that. So we want to hear your experiences on the show today. 1800 453 106. Rosemary is with us. Rosemary, I believe you're a little like myself. You've had some experience, unfortunately, with scams before.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. I had it through Facebook, which is renowned for dodgy sites, but I went into a what I thought was a reputable site to order a pair of well-known branded runners. The site looked perfect and everything like that, and I ordered them, but they never arrived, so I chased it up. And eventually, long story short, 6 months later, there was no sign coming. But thankfully, I had paid by credit card and I had all my all the bits and pieces that I could prove I had actually been scammed. So I was able to get my money back. But I was scammed before through Revolut, and you never get your money back through Revolut. So if you are a bit suspicious of a site and not 100% sure of it, do pay by a credit card. You know, if some chance of getting your money back.
Well, no, as you say yourself, if you have any suspicions at all, that's great if you have those suspicions.
Oh, yeah,
but when you don't,
the thing is, another thing I'd recommend is actually Google the site that's being advertised, because you know, a lot of the time it's a dodgy site, and if it doesn't come up, ignore it. But it's easy to be wise afterwards.
Yeah, hindsight. So in this case, like, it was obviously a brand of runners that you knew.
Yes,
and that
a
you
very
know.
Well-known brand, and they were advertised. The site I clicked on and went into looked very, very kosher. Everything was, now my husband said, why are they so cheap?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, and because they were about half the price of what you'd normally pay.
And you were buying them new. It wasn't like you were buying them, you know, they weren't on a second-hand site
or anything like that.
No, yeah, they
absolutely
were new. Yeah.
And I haven't specifically Googled this particular brand of run, but you know the way the algorithm in Facebook kicks in when you say, talk about runners or beds, or next thing you're flooded with messages. So this came up, and I had been thinking of buying this particular brand of runners, and I must have been talking about them. And next thing, I said, gosh, that looks great. It's half what I'd have to pay in the shop, but obviously for a reason.
Yeah, but good to hear you got the money back via your bank in this case.
So what I'd recommend, well, first of all, I recommend not
obviously don't buy it at the bogus site,
But if it looks, you know, fairly okay, still go with the credit card option, because you have some form of insurance to get your money back. But with Revolut, absolutely no.
We've heard heartbreaking stories, all right, from listeners here, or, you know, customers of Revolut too over the years. Well, look, I'm glad to hear you had somewhat of a positive resolution for half of the story, Rosemary, and thanks for sharing that with us today. Ryan is on the line. Ryan, I believe you were recently scammed. What happened?
Hi there, Andrea. Yes, and unfortunately, in my case, Revolut do enter the picture, so my prospects may not exactly be brilliant for clawing that back. But in any case, basically, kind of in early April, I was in the middle of a bustling, busy kind of working day, so I was already fairly kind of busy and distracted. So kind of in any case, I received a call from an Irish landline number, and then the person on the other end of the line, Irish person, claimed to be from the Bank of Ireland fraud support team. So kind of at this stage, I was torn between going, oh, God, kind of, don't tell me I've been had, and also for God's sake, this is not what I need in the middle of my day. So anyway, essentially, he said you should have got texts from us relating to suspicious transactions from the UK. Now, this was one of the things that hooked me, because I had previously, as in a few weeks before or so, gotten them genuine Bank of Ireland fraud alerts relating to suspicious transactions away from the UK.
So it seemed legitimate.
What happened then, Ryan? He got me to confirm a few details, and it turned out that he was already aware of certain details, including my air code, my email address, obviously my phone number, since he used it to call. So then essentially he really let me down the garden path by essentially saying that in order to protect my account, and basically I needed to get a new IBAN. However, in order to keep my funds safe, I needed to transfer to a quote unquote safe account via Revolut, which should have let off every single alarm bell in and outside the house, but at the time.
And did you lose out on you lost out on money, Ryan? You did.
Oh, I certainly did. Yep. In the region of $2,300.
Oh my God! And did you have any luck getting that back?
Initially, I filed with Bank of Ireland, and they predictably, because it really happened on Revolut, they directed me to Revolut. So then I put in a fraud report with Revolut. But then I had to go to the guards to obviously report it before I could go further. So I did. I got the pulse number, etc., and put in all my evidence.
Yeah.
So at this stage, they're in the stage of trying to recover funds. But as I say, and echoing your previous caller, I wouldn't be holding out a massive degree of hope that anything happens there. But what I would say is that although, looking back now, it was an incredibly obvious scam, what these scammers do is that they really are trying to catch you when you're most likely to be already frazzled or vulnerable or whatever, in order to catch you at your weakest point, basically. And they also sprinkle in enough plausible details and plausible techniques to make
it seem really legitimate. And like, Ryan, that sounds like an awful, situation that you had. And my God, such a huge, sum of money as well, which is desperate when that's taken. I think Revolut, when we did reach out to Revolut as well, actually, in relation to this, and they've said that they're deeply concerned that large numbers of frauds are being enabled across the industry by criminals using fake and spoofed phone calls. Revolut say they will never phone you without first confirming via secure in-app chat, ask for sensitive info, or ever ask you to process any transactions on your account. If customers are in doubt, we encourage them to reach out to us via the in-app chat for support as well. Ryan, thanks a million for sharing your experience with us. Hazel Murray, who is the Chair of Cybersecurity at Munster Technical University, is with us on the line today. Hazel, that's just two of the many scams that have unfortunately caught some of our listeners here on Lunchtime Live today. Like, I mean, they just seem to be getting more and more believable and elaborate, don't they?
They do. They're becoming so believable. I mean, sometimes we're talking to people, and sometimes the fake websites can be more believable seeing than the real websites in some cases, because so much work is put in to make them believable that it is getting so, so difficult for to recognise what's real and what's fake, and always being vigilant. And, late night purchases and things like that don't always go hand in hand with double checking everything.
Why is it that, you know, in Rosemary's case, she was able to get her money refunded to her by her bank because she'd used her credit card, and yet the likes of Ryan and so many others who maybe have used some of the other, the likes of Revolut or other banking financial institutions, can't?
Yeah, so it's actually a difference in, so the way the credit card works is there's basically stronger legal requirements on the banks if you've paid with a credit card, whereas with a debit card, it's considered to be paid immediately and already be authorised. So it's actually, the distinction is between a credit card versus a debit card. And then you also have the bank transfer, which is actually the weakest of all three, and the least easy to get your money back from. There are actually new rules coming in that make it more of the responsibility of the banks to stand over or to like reimburse people if there's fraud. Because I guess in the current scenario, if someone, you know, hacks into your account and guesses your PIN or steals your credit card or something like that, you would more than likely be reimbursed. Whereas if you've clicked on a fake website and being tricked into doing something, you might be less likely to be reimbursed. And they're trying to actually increase, well, basically the thing is, it's all fraud, right? It's all a crime. It's just a different way of
doing it. Does it make any difference if you use the likes of PayPal to purchase online?
So I don't think it's any better. I guess the problem really is that no one is checking that you think you're sending the money to one shoe company, but actually the money is going to a different place. And at the moment, there's no checks. You just say, I want to pay this company, transfer the money there. And that's true whether it's PayPal or whether it's a debit card. The organization just moves the money. Whereas now the requirements are going to be that they have to check that who you think you're paying is who is actually getting the money. And it's not just like John Murphy's bank account or something like that you're transferring it to. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a serious operation. There's what, the 200 websites found last year alone, Hazel, you know, operating and catching out consumers here in Ireland. Like that,
it's huge. I mean, I think there is a study that showed that on average, people will lose 100,000 euro. No, not 100, sorry, 1,000 euro a year. So per year, per person, 100,000 will be lost to scams and fraud, which when you multiply that up and you're thinking it's every year. And, you know, some people are losing out on thousands, hundreds of thousands, and maybe some people less. But it kind of all balances out that there's a huge amount of money being lost to scams and fraud.
JJ Clark is joining us, Hazel, on the line. You were scammed over the phone, JJ, is that right?
Yeah, so I was 2 years ago, I was heading to Bali via Zurich in Switzerland, and my flight was delayed in Zurich, and it was an early flight, so I was tired, and I took to Twitter, good journalist, and I complained on Swiss Airlines Twitter. And then directly under my comment, Swiss Airlines came back, the Twitter account, but I didn't realize. I clicked into it and I had 75,000 followers as opposed to the 300,000 followers of the legitimate Swiss Airlines account. And it had one space in the difference. So the exactly same Swiss Airlines Limited Twitter handle, but just a space at the end of that that name. And so they said, oh, we're very sorry for the inconvenience caused. We'll get you sorted out with your connecting flights. Just directly message us. I didn't think, once I checked that they had 75,000 followers,
yeah,
I thought,
it seems totally legit.
Yeah. Totally legitimate, like totally pass guard. And so this guy got on to me, direct messages, Swiss Airlines. They said, please provide your name and your phone number and we'll call you straight away. I got a call 2 minutes later, a guy called Christopher, North African accent. No alarm bells there, because a lot of companies outsource their sort
customer
of call
service
centers. And there was no background. You know the way you sort of listen for that like background call center, a little bit jumbled noise in the background. You're like, this sounds a little bit like scammy. So there was none of that. It was a real clear line. And Christopher was just like, heard me out because I kind of was ranting. I was just like, you know, I'm missing all my connecting flights. I'm really annoyed. And he goes, don't worry, we're going to get you in business class. Like all the things I wanted to hear. We're going to refund you, you know. And he goes, all we need you to do is set up a Remitly account And then you need to connect that with your Evolut. And so this sense of urgency, this is the thing I'd kind of caution people for, is if you are halt, so hungry, angry, lonely, tired, if you're any of those states. Now, I was HAT, so I was hungry, angry, and tired. And so that enabled them to take advantage and manipulate me. And then there was a sense of urgency. Like Christopher was like, you need to set it up. You know, it needs to be fast. So it was almost like I was in a river and the current was going very fast. You know, it was a different than a normal interaction. And so I set up the account and I was kind of switching, toggling between Remitly and Revolut. And once I like allowed access, I just saw €200 appear in the Remitly account. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm up €200. Sweet. And then I toggled back to Revolut and I was like, crap, I'm down €200. And so then suddenly, just within about a 30-second period, €800 was gone from my Revolut account. I switched all the rest of my budget for the surfing holiday into an account so it couldn't be accessed. But I was still on the line and Chris was like, no, you just, he was assuring me and it was very sophisticated. And Christopher was just like, you know, don't worry, that's going to come into your Revolut account. It just needs to be, you know, there needs to be a kind of a waiting period of about 5-10 minutes. And I, once I realized it was too late, €800 was gone. And I was like tired, alone in an airport.
And fed up. And I can only imagine. And it's well worth flagging that because I actually haven't heard of that scam at all before. But to think that they're maybe monitoring the likes of, you know, comments you're putting up on Twitter and then being the person to respond and with 70 odd thousand followers. It's very believable, particularly for people travelling. I assume you didn't get that money back and there was no business upgrade.
No, I didn't. But I wrote a feature article on it, so I got half the money back.
Good. Well, you got something.
Yeah. And if I do, you know, an article in the future, I might end up making money. Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? Thanks a million, JJ, for sharing that with us. Paul Anthony Walsh is on the line because we spoke to you in the past about your own scam experience. Was there ever a resolution, Paul, to that?
Oh, hi, Andrea.
How are you?
It's nice speaking to you again. And good afternoon to your listeners. And again, just off the back to the last time we spoke, very supportive. Your followers reached out to me and very kind words helping me with different bits of advice. So it was really, really good. So thanks again. No, nothing has come as a nothing has come from Revolut. They're still standing by what they're saying. And yeah, I suppose for the people that don't know, last year I was a victim of a sophisticated fraud through my Revolut account, losing over 10,000. You know, while I was fast asleep in Galway, someone in Spain managed to add my card to an Android, an unknown device in a different location, and made 3 payments to a cryptocurrency exchanges, you know, which I've never used in my life, of about €10,000. So I didn't actually find out until the following day when I went to use my card and there was no money in the account.
Like €10,000, that was a whole mortgage deposit, Paul.
Yeah, that was the thing. I had that money there saving up to put towards a mortgage, but unfortunately nothing would ever get back. I suppose I think the most frustrating part about the whole experience was also what happened afterwards. I think I had to go into a chatbot support in Revolut. I was transferred to about 20 different agents. I was getting, like, I had to re-explain my story every single time to a new person, and nothing came of it. And that was over the course of an entire month back and over. So very, very frustrating ordeal. You know, and like I said, their Revolut seem to be getting past this, because I think what most Irish people don't realise, and this is a really important piece of information, when you put your money in a traditional bank backed by the Central Bank of Ireland, like Bank of Ireland or AIB, you have clear protections. But if you put your money, if you look at neobanks, which is, you know, fancy name for digital banks, under their fraud repayment terms and conditions, instead of saying, we'll refund you up to 60,000, right, like traditional banks, the digital banks like Revolut will say fraud repayments is at their own discretion. So they're exploiting the fact that they're a tech company and not a bank when it suits them. So this leaves consumers in Ireland with weaker rights to repayment if their accounts have been hacked or scammed.
And I think the point they had made, and I don't have the statement from last year here in front of me, but I think it was something to do with it. They had, I think, made the point that they'd thought this could only happen if, I think, certain, you know, if you'd swiped at certain times or perhaps allowed, you know, maybe for some use of your card. But you know, you obviously say, Paul, that wasn't the case.
So they're standing over the fact that we sent an OTP, a one-time password, to you, and that I approved it. Now I have that OTP was buried in messages. I never even opened it until a few days after that. Until a few days after the hack. So that OTP said, oh, you know, someone's adding a card, sign in and add the card. So I didn't see that until after the attack had happened. So someone had managed to add a card to the wallet, bypass my password and my biometrics, and then get into my Revolut account very easily and spending huge, large sums of money without even approving those payments again, do you know? So usually you have to even approve payments again. So I was fast asleep when all this was happening, and they're standing over the fact that, do you know what, Paul, we sent you an OTP, so we're covered under EU law, and technically they are. So
Hazel Murray is still with us. Paul, Hazel, have you any advice for Paul? Or, I mean, I'm sure he's exhausted every available avenue at this stage, but is there anything, Hazel, you can offer?
Yeah, honestly, it's such a difficult situation. I mean, usually the advice we give is to go to the Gardaí and get the Pulse ID so that you've registered that it's a crime and having all the documentation. And then sometimes people have had to bring in a solicitor in order to kind of argue their case. But it sounds like you've actually gone through quite a lot of the trying to argue and the reporting it as a crime and all those steps already.
It's awful, unfortunate, Paul, and I'm sorry to hear. I thought maybe when I saw your name there back in today joining us in the line, I thought maybe you had some positive news. So I'm sorry to hear that's not the case, but it is well worth highlighting your story for our listeners out there today. This texter says, I've had several successful claims for reimbursement from PayPal. You just have to persevere with them. If they do turn down your claim, appeal it again. A listener tells me they think that PayPal are quite reliable in this instance. And another texter says, I think a lesson here for a lot of us is to reduce the online shopping unless absolutely necessary. For a couple of reasons, support the local shops in your community, protect yourself against the scams as well. Wait till AI kicks in to the scam culture. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Paul Anthony Walsh, also JJ Clark, Ryan Rosemary, and Hazel Murray there is the Chair of Cybersecurity at Munster Technical University.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.